Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Astrologer Bill Attride Radio Show. I'm Bill Attride, and this is the sixth show of 2020. And I thought, considering all that's going on in the world and here at home, that we would take a look at the current conditions as we see before us now, of course, looking through an astrological window. And then, of course, I'll later on turn to the telephone lines, and a number of you are holding on. And for some reason today, it's not giving me how long you people have been holding on, which is, I guess, a nice equalizer. So I'll just at random pick different people here. I don't know why it hasn't shown the whole time here, but some of you have been holding on, I know, for 10 or 15 minutes, but I'll do my best. And I'll get to your calls. And if you want to talk about the subject at hand, certainly you can do that. If you want to ask about something in your own life or someone else in your life, just give me your first name regardless so I can say hello and know who you are. But also, then I would need a birth date and a place of birth at the very least. And if you have time of birth, then I can tell you so much more. Okay. And I would definitely take a question or two if you wish. And of course, if you have topics or suggestions for shows, you can certainly send them along. I welcome questions, and people often ask questions or have questions about how to study some of this stuff, whether it's astrology or metaphysical matters. And I have quite an extensive reading list, and I'd be happy to suggest things for people to read that can provide guidance and comfort at any time, especially a time like this. And of course, if you want to get a personal reading, and many of you have, and if you wish to do that again, or if you haven't done that, you can contact me in my email, billattride@gmail.com, or look for my number on my blog sites and Facebook and other social media that I'm on, and you'll find my number. You can give me a call as well. And so that's what you could do. So for today, what I thought is, as you might imagine, these last couple of weeks, almost every session I've done over the last several weeks has always begun, sometimes, though I have hour-long sessions, the first 20, 30 minutes have been taken up with the events of the time we're in, and then I certainly give that client, certainly give them their hour session, but most people want to talk about what's going on and what the stars have to say about that, so to speak, or just commonsensical information that we're sharing about our experiences and trying to cope with this, whether clients of mine in Europe who've had an earlier taste of this and here now in the U.S. and around the world trying to make sense of what's happening here. And of course, for me, in terms of what I study and in terms of looking at the ancient wisdom, being a student of history and also a student of astrology for many years, I try to frame these things in big historical terms and looking at the arc of history and understanding how that fits into the arc of the planets and their cycling. And so I always tend to frame it that way, and also very optimistic in the sense that we've come through very troubling times before, again and again throughout history, and spirit and the human spirit finds a way through, and it's always a time of, I would say, a quickening of spirit. When things have a great friction, we reveal the shining underneath, behind all that incrustation that might have gotten in the way of our love and compassion and caring for one another, and that's showing up in leaps and bounds now, right here intimately in our daily lives, as well as what we watch on the stage of the world and all those heroes out there, the front line, of course, considering the conditions we're going through, our healthcare workers and other leaders who are trying to forestall any greater calamity to us all. And we praise them like we did our 9/11 responders here in New York. At that terrible time, rushing in without thinking of themselves, it is truly the shining star of a human consciousness. It's our selflessness and sacrifice for one another, which is our love for one another. And it really is it gives me goosebumps when I watch what's going on and what we will be going through. And hopefully, we'll have a lot of those shining moments here to look back upon. But of course, you want to know why. Why is this happening now? And again, astrologically, as I've been saying, and probably getting very, very dull now since before 2008, I've been kept on this drumbeat of this is going to be a time that we won't forget, because this is a time, much like it was in the 1700s and before that in the 1500s and so on, that every 240, 50 years or so, one of those great planets, the planet Pluto, the planet that rules transformation, death and rebirth, I say it rules the will, but it's the power of creation, of death and rebirth and renewal. And so when it's moving through certain signs, it's affecting the qualities and conditions it is it those sign that sign sort of governs. And so always it goes through a series of steps and stages, and we could look at them all at some point historically, but for our purposes, just to focus on today, I've seen in the 1500s was a time where I say a world came undone in terms of how it was structured economically and politically and culturally and spiritually, and set in motion a new kind of culture and economy and way of life for the next 250 years that came undone in the next episode of Pluto through Capricorn, which was the late 1760s to 1770s. In each of these periods, what had been the dominant way of meeting human needs, because that's what we're talking about. We are humans. We take care of one another, whether within families or in communities and then in larger social organizations on up to nowadays state and transnational organizations. It's all about meeting human needs. And we create these systems to meet our needs within families and then expanding outward. And the systems we put in place, the patterns we create there, work for a time, perhaps for a very long time, but they're not forever. And they need to change because of their own internal dynamic of no longer meeting the nature of what humans need at that time, but also externally because of external events and changes in climate and other things that make it no longer tenable to meet our needs that way. And so that's what happened then in the 1500s. It happened again in the 1700s. But what happens is the very solution that is formulated and put forth and becomes dominant in a period itself creates its own contradictions and limitations, that we solve these amazing challenges and problems in the 1700s that set in motion certain dynamics in terms of releasing great wealth and power and accumulation and strength and growth in societies on the one hand, but also had inherent side effects that were going to be catching up to us at some point. And here they are, that the very things that we use to solve our problems of having enough food and having enough power and having and accumulating more wealth and well-being in the world is now choking and destroying the world and causing all these dislocations in the natural world and in our human-made world. And that's this intersection of what we've known in terms of many scientists for many years talking about, that as we broke down the natural systems and had them become under greater stress, there would be repercussions. And as we basically moved into all spaces on the earth and came into contact with spaces that we normally wouldn't come in contact with and pathogens and life forms, and they became more introduced into our world, we would have no defenses against them. You could say this goes back 10 to 15,000 years ago when humans decided it, and maybe longer than that, depends on how you look at history, when humans became no longer hunter-gatherers, but began to settle down into communities as agriculturalists and pastoralists, and we began to live with our animals. At that very moment, we began to have more of this sort of interfacing of life forms that we had no defenses against and had to accumulate those defenses. But of course, that's sped up over time here to the point where now it's racing across the globe in a matter of hours because of how we've connected to one another through these amazing technologies. But the downside is, yes, there is this greater connectivity for all things traveling along those pathways, including things that are dangerous to us, at least at this time. And so many people are saying, well, why did we let this happen? How could we let this? There were many voices speaking to this, saying it's going to happen again. And to the extent that we have rigorous public health structures and people looking out for these things, we could catch it. Of course, in many places and cultures, they have some of those systems in place, and they may be faring a little better than other places. And other systems, they took their eye off the ball. They didn't put the funds there and resources there. They didn't catch it early enough. And now they're trying to play catch up. And unfortunately, America and other countries is in that role of having not been as resilient in terms of some resources that it would like to draw upon at this time immediately. And so people say, why does this happen? The planets don't cause this. They are what they are in their regular patterning with each other. They set in motion periods where there's a beginning of something, and then it comes to a pivot point, then it comes to a climax and around again until it begins a new cycle. What happens within that cycle, any cycle, whether it's looking at things in the monthly cycle of the sun and moon or other kinds of weekly cycles, every 7 days, every 14 days, something begins and goes through various stages. Just like in disease, the doctor will note that onset of a disease, and then you reach a critical mass at 3.5 days, and then another inflection at 7. And there's these constancies in terms of numbers and Fibonacci sequences that seem to time the unfoldment of natural and beyond natural processes that seem to time things. But what happens in any one of those times, depending upon the organism that we're talking about, is dependent upon that organism, especially when we're talking about humans, since we have such greater powers to change our world and ourselves. What is happening here, the content of what we're facing, that is on us. It is not caused by Pluto in Capricorn. It is not caused by Saturn going from Capricorn to Aquarius, which it did last night. And we're thankful for that because it brings a new kind of test here into the world for us all, one that's quite striking in terms of what we're going through, and I'll definitely mention that. But in terms of what we're facing, there's no determination coming from the planets. They just say when and what the nature of it might be, that this is a time when the institutions fall apart. And what will be revealed to us is how lacking they are in their capacity to handle certain problems that in some sense they helped to create. The way we did things helped to create these problems. And we'll see individuals, some rising to the occasion and being the heroes of the moment, people who are authorities in positions that are carrying out their duties as best they can, given the times they're in. And others will see, like the institutions themselves, are failing and flailing because they don't have the character. They don't have the integrity. They don't have the virtue. They don't have the wisdom. And they don't act with truth. And so that is revealed at a time like this. So everything is exposed. And so most of us, as we've been told, will get through this fine. There'll be inconveniences, certainly, and devastating economic consequences and all that, but life will go on. And there are those we should be rushing to help who are more vulnerable, and those who are in the front lines who need our support, because they are putting their life on the line every single moment. And it need not have been this difficult. There is no necessity to how difficult it is now. That is through a series of choices or willful ignorance or what have you upon those who might have taken steps. So we never lay this on the planets and say they're the cause of something. They are a way of looking at for the meaningfulness of something. And yes, in individual charts, we can say this is a time for having more or less stress in your life, and then you need to be able to cope with that. Certainly, Pluto going through Capricorn is a stressful period in history for all places, but obviously different places and peoples and cultures will respond differently given their level of development and integrity in handling those crises. And that's what we're seeing play out across the planet right now in this quite literally global pandemic. And so what we can do right now is understand that the test we've been undergoing for the last 2.5 years with this has been Saturn also being in Capricorn. And so it was a test of responsibility where we would see how well our systems were holding and people within those systems understood the exercise of their power and carried it out correctly or didn't, failed to do so, dropped the ball, stumbled and caused greater harm. But just last night and now this morning and for the next couple of years, basically, the planet Saturn's in Aquarius. And the next test for all of us within this larger test of Pluto going through Capricorn, which, as I said, continues till 2024, is now Saturn Aquarius says, now we've got to think about and face our understanding of our social consciousness and conscience. It's really about community. And that we realize that our true nature is not individual, but we are made of one another. And we need one another to develop our intelligence, develop our knowing, develop our feelings and have these connections within ourselves that are formed by all these connections we formed out around ourselves. We are more of a we than an I, and most of our thoughts and feelings and understanding has been formed by all these interactions we've had with people throughout our lives and through many lives. And so we have to work at maintaining and preserving and extending our communities, because it's all about how do we achieve the greatest level of self-fulfillment for one and for all. What is happiness? Happiness is reaching one's highest level of self-realization, which has to be something we all strive for, to bring everybody up to that greater level of self-realization, because then we will succeed as a culture and a people and a planet. And if we fail to create conditions that allow for this greater self-realization and therefore of happiness, we will go into a darker period. So right now, it's about, as we are being asked to physically separate, we have to ever more pull together, call one another, speak to one another, wave to one another from a respectful distance, and hold together and help one another through this time. Our social connections are being tested, and I'm sure they'll be found to be strong and true. This will revive a human spirit in terms of fellowship and community and love of thy neighbor, and also love of all others in communities around the world, community to community, banding together to solve our problems. It is in the dark time, like Pluto going through Capricorn, when the world falls apart, that a new world is also equally emerging, that will become ever more evident as we move into 2024 and 25 and 26. It's not going to be easy to build a new world, because we know there are amazing problems that we're confronting, not the least of which is the challenge of diseases springing out of nowhere like this, seemingly, but it's not from nowhere, or of watching the ecological destruction of this planet and the sustainability of life itself in peril. We are, as we like to think, very higher life forms, having self-awareness and self-consciousness. But we have been acting very stupidly for a long time in terms of thinking we could get away with destroying lower life forms and our own life form be unaffected by that. All life depends on life, and the higher life forms even more so depend on all lower life forms, from the most microscopic to larger macroscopic realms. And we are right now really removing life from this planet at an increasing rate. And so if we don't turn that around, are not that these other ecological systems and other beings have inherent value themselves, vast value, but our potential and our value and our realization will very much diminish as a result. And so the hour is late, and I see these blows we're receiving and ecological disasters and fires and storms and now waves of pandemics as signs that the planet is saying, stop, change your way, wake up to the need for considering all life as sacred and protecting all of life and protecting your own life through that. First, we reach out to one another and then to all other life forms to continue on this wonderful lifeboat of life that we call our Earth. But right now, the hour is late, and right now we're facing this crisis that we have to get through and being asked to make extraordinary changes and sacrifices, which we will make for one another and for the future. But certainly it is not a necessity at all that this had to happen. Something would have to break down, and things are breaking down, certainly around the world in various ways. But that's also because it was time, and it's now also, but it's equally time to start building better systems, a better way of meeting our needs and meeting the needs for one another that are sustainable and can be passed down to future generations as they improve upon that in many, many years and decades and even centuries to come. But this is our moment. This is our moment when we see the end of an age. And rather than striking fear into our hearts, we should realize we are grateful for where it brought us, this civilization and culture. But we see its inherent contradictions and limitations and how it is itself the very impediment to future human evolution and fulfillment. And therefore, we must change. We must be these instruments of change now. There is no delay. And maybe this is maybe one of those shocks or wake-up calls that makes us see that the epidemic, this pandemic, COVID-19, is a blessing because it makes people realize they can't just get by. They can't pretend that everything's okay, that this is a passing challenge. This is a spiritual awakening that will take place in many souls and many hearts. And we're all experiencing on a different levels, I am sure. I'm certainly hearing that from many people. We all wish it didn't have to happen this way. And I don't think it had to happen this way, but it's where we are. And it's where we're going to be for some time to get ourselves out of this self-created mess that we're in. and so we will do better. We will be fine, but we need to remember how to find our way. And that is why I always return back to ancient teachings, to ancient philosophy, to metaphysical principles, to hold us true to the fundamental teachings. Life is sacred, and whatever and whomever I encounter is an aspect of the divine, and to treat it anything less than that is to harm myself. Love is the energy that holds this whole universe together. So in living, we find truth is virtue. In thinking, you'll find that truth is wisdom. In feeling, we'll find that truth is beauty. And in action, truth is moderation. Many different philosophies understand this and have spoken to this. The Stoic philosophers are amazing in regard to how we only can control ourselves. And so self-mastery is the key, which comes from self-knowledge and knowledge of the world around oneself. And so we need to do our own part in mastering ourselves, in conducting ourselves with integrity, and in searching for truth. And finding that through our finding truth, we will establish greater equilibrium and normalcy in ourselves and in our conduct. No one possesses truth, but you can become possessed by it and know what is right and what is wrong without thinking about it. It requires no thought whatsoever. It's an intuitive feeling. And this is what should guide us. Well, I didn't want to take up too much time with this, and there's so many things, and probably people want me to say, when is this going to end? And there are experts in epidemiology and pandemics who know far better than me, and we're all reading about these things now, what the timeline is here. But I would stress, and as they stress, the timeline is not fixed. It is determined by how we each act and follow. What we find are the reasonable and right authorities who have more understanding, the scientists and those political and other leaders who are staying on the straight and narrow path and follow their advice and do what we're asked to do and answer the call if we have to. And that will determine how long this takes. But there is no astrological determination that says this or that will happen, because obviously what's happening here on the planet for everyone is being responded to by each individual and community and nation in its own fashion. And so each of us must do our utmost and best if we want to get through this more easily and no longer be under this fearful energy form that seems to be holding people in place right now. Instead, we should remove the fear by acting in loving manners, in loving ways, in loving actions towards one another. That is the greatest thing any of us can do right now, at any point in time, but especially a time when it seems as if we want to retreat and withdraw from one another. We need to stay distant, but we need to be even more connected is the message, okay? So with that in mind, I'll turn to all of you who are waiting patiently online, and I thank you for indulging me. And I'll go with one of the first people who I believe called, because I saw the first calls come in. So, but now I don't know who. There's no hold times here. I'm sorry, so I can't tell who's first, who's second. but let's make this attempt. So I'm going to call on the what is in the first in the list here, caller. So caller, you're on the air with Bill. Who is this? Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Bill. It's Pat. Thanks so much.
Sure.
I did call in early.
Yes, you did. I did notice a few people who had called in early, so I tried. Okay.
Also, I emailed you. I sort of had a second thought of maybe asking about my son with his birthday.
Sure.
But either way, okay. Oh, his is
yes.
Due.
Okay. If I it's Pat, right? So you did send me an email, so I did open up your chart and created the chart for your son. So I do have that here. So that's good.
Great.
Okay. So what can I do for you?
So I'll ask about my son.
Okay.
Just for the coming year or whatever you pick
up? Okay. Just you want to know what's happening. I didn't know what the question would be. I'm sorry. So,
No, my fault.
Okay. So you want to know what kind of conditions he's faced with this year?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. It's usually best to sort of look at, you know, see what a person's come through to see what they're now presently encountering in their life. And I guess the signature thing I would say is that in his chart right now, in terms of the progress chart, that inner measure of time, his moon has moved into Aquarius starting back in May of last year. And then by August of 2019, moved into his 10th house. With the moon in Aquarius, this is a time for him to be dealing with his hopes and dreams and his friendships and companionships and wanting and needing to feel as if others are seeing him as he truthfully is as an individual, and therefore he wants to be free or to be himself. And with the moon in the 10th house, he's considering the path he's on, like he has come to a climactic moment where he's looking at where he's come from the last 10 to 15 years. He's looking ahead to on that path to see where is this all going, and it's time to pause and consider the path ahead. Of course, what he's run into here at the same time, in 2019, he had the planet Neptune going over his own Neptune, which it continued to do here, does do here in 2020, while also bringing in Venus. So what's happening for your son is that the midlife is a time when we pause and consider. In one of these first elements of it, of Neptune, it's about what's my dream. And it often leads to a time of great questioning and confusion about a number of things. And certainly this would be affecting him in terms of his understanding of beauty and love in his life. In one way, if the person is understanding what the energy is asking, it could be a time of great insight in terms of unconditional love and both experiencing and sharing that with another. If there's more challenge to be worked through here, the person is in a very confusing circumstance when it comes to self-love and or the love of another. And they are trying to grapple with that experience is what would be happening. No one gets it perfectly right or wrong, but he certainly is going through a period where how he sees the other before him and sees himself in terms of value, love, and beauty, are fundamental questions in his life here for 2019 and 2020. And I would tell someone coming in to see me at this time, if they had this in their chart, I'd say, the first thing I'd say to them, well, I guess you're confused. And they'd say, oh my gosh, yes. And it's so terrible. I say, and I'd look at them and say, no, it's wonderful. And they look at me like I'm a crazy person. But I tell them that you understand you're confused because what you thought was is not, which means it was a form of an illusion. And so what you're going through now is disillusionment, losing the former illusion of what you understood to be true as you move into a new state of higher understanding. But get from one to the other, you have to go through this passage, which does feel like and is experienced by most of us as a confusing time. So he's confused. Okay. There's that is certainly there. And yet in that confusion comes these elicitations from spirit of a greater understanding that one gets to see truth behind the illusion, and eventually it steadies out. So he'll get through this period. But he certainly is facing these tests in terms of self-worth, love, in his life at this time.
Okay.
That's what I'm seeing. Okay.
That all makes sense. Is there any way, can you see if he's constructive about this positive outcomes?
I can't say for sure that he would be. I would say what I would encourage anybody going through this experience would be, one needs to contact things that hold their value no matter what. So when Neptune is strong, I always tell people, go walk in a beautiful forest and remind yourself that beauty does exist and it's forever in some measure compared to the temporary disassociation you're feeling with love and beauty, as well as go to museums or whatever way you can absorb the beauty of human creation, reminding you that some things do have inherent beauty and will always be beautiful, helps to stabilize the soul, which is finding that kind of feeling of emptiness and dust in their mouth, that things have no taste or things have no value or beauty. It is a real feeling they're going through. It is also an illusion.
Uh-huh.
Because truth is that we're all sparks of the divine. We're all beautiful and shining beings. We just are not yet risen into the fullest example and realization of that. But it's there, and we can touch it. And we can touch it out there, which helps us to connect to it in here. And he needs that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what? That's a great thing to focus on when you come back to the confusion to work through that. That's the best thing to focus on. So thank you so much. That's good.
You're very
advice
welcome.
For me, too. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, well,
God bless
course.
You. Be well.
You be well, too. Thank
be
you.
Well.
Thank you very
thank
much,
you.
Pat.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, I'll just put her on hold, and then I'll pick another person. I don't know how long you've been waiting, but I'm going to pick you. So here we go. Hello, it's Bill. Who's calling?
Hello, Bill. This Hello. Is Catherine.
Hello, Catherine. Do I know you,
yes,
Catherine?
Hi, Bill. Yes, hi. Great to connect with you. You emailed me. Thank you so much. And you do have my chart. Since you have sent it to me before, I'm planning on scheduling a private reading with you.
Catherine. Okay, good.
Yes. Okay. Hi, it's great to connect with you. Bill, your shows are so brilliant and enlightening. Thank you. And I totally share your philosophy, as I'm sure many of us listening do. For now, my question to you is, I was just laid off my job last week due to the shelter at home mandate. And I'm wondering, with the new moon this week, the shift of Saturn into Aquarius and some of the other transits we have going on, if there's any positive job outlook in my chart, and or is it time to let go of the old way of being, doing, and having and find something new?
Oh boy! Well, I know you're not alone. Of course, all of us are trying to navigate this time, and we're holding out hope for various supports from various entities out there, from national to local levels, to get through these hard times. I mean, this last couple of years, you've been going through a recentering process because your progress moon's been in your fourth house, and it's there for a few more months. So I'd say, this is a time when you experience moments of, oh, I feel more secure, I'm more connected, and that's true, and that's good, and that I can always hold on to that. And then being thrown into moments of, you know, more confusion or doubt and uncertainty and feeling very insecure, which obviously is a time that we're, all of us are somewhat experiencing, but it's more dramatic for you. This is where your test in life lies. Your Cancer rising, as you know, your Saturn's in the fourth house. Certainly your test is staying centered, finding that self at the center that keeps you from experiencing these vicissitudes of safety or insecurity or being secure and insecure. I would certainly encourage you right now that Saturn, as you say, just moved into Aquarius. It's now marching through your seventh house, that the focus of your life in terms of opportunity and testing will be relationships. And so that would say to me that you need to sort of focus on both the immediate relationships, people in your home and or in your neighborhood and people from work or work life, to sort of maintain those ties and connections there. Certainly, I would imagine, given the ruler of your 10th house of career, Mars, is in your 11th house of friends, and like many other things, is in your 11th house of friends, your sun there,
right.
Jupiter, Mars, and Moon. I mean, your community life, your friendship life, not that it has to be big, but it has to be complex and many layered. But anybody who has Mars, the ruler of their 10th house and the 11th house of friends, will find their way to their self-realization and their career through friends, making friends through work and finding work through friends. So certainly reach out to those who might need you to do something for them and vice versa. And of course, because you've got Jupiter in your 11th house there, you'll always show great generosity to your friends, but that also means you'll receive great benefits and generosity from them. And again, that Jupiter rules your 6th house of work, and it's in your 11th house of friends. So both the ruler of your 10th house of career and the ruler of your 6th house of work are both in the 11th house of friendship and companionship and community activity and community involvement. So to the extent that you can get involved in some community activity right now just to do some good, which is needed, might provide also a bridge to the next job I'm doing as well, if it's not already been your job. Given what your chart shows here. So while we all stuck, what's that?
Just a quick question, because I don't want to take up all the time. The new moon is in the 10th house, conjunct Chiron, which is also in my 10th. So it seems like there's some implications there with work. Or career, so to speak.
The new moon actually, for you, actually takes place in your 9th house. Okay, this coming new moon.
Okay.
It's just in that 9th house, because the sun is at about 4 degrees or so at the new moon in your end. So on the new moon, it's in that 9th house. So I would say that's focusing the energy on your reexamination of what is the truth and what to believe and how do I know what I know is not yet upon that work sector, as I see it. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do what we've been talking about, certainly. And Venus, your ruler, is going through Taurus now, and in a few days, it will come over your sun, which is a wonderful thing. Probably around by Friday. So by Friday, there's some kind of blessing coming your way, and you can count on that with your planet bringing you something. Okay.
That's wonderful. Thanks. We'll do a private reading. Thank you so much.
Okay. Okay, Catherine, be well. Thank you. Okay.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Let me try somebody else here. Let's go to this person. You've been on quite some time, I believe. Hello, you're on with Bill. Who's this?
Hey, it's Machi Tent. How are you?
Machi. Hi there. Oh, my goodness. People are calling in that I know. Wonderful.
Bill, you...
Hi there.
Truly, hi, you're a national treasure, Bill. I hope you know how much you're giving to us. So comforting
and wonderful, stabilizing. Well, thank you. I see everybody's pulling together. Everybody's shining now, those who can and should and will. And I just look at some of these people out there. I'm just pleasantly surprised and stunned by some of the political and community leaders and scientific leaders that are stepping up right now.
Oh,
they're our heroes right now. And everybody's got to do their part and try to hold it together and help one another. I mean, I just, in my own practice here, I walk out the door, I go to knock to my neighbor's door and say, do you need anything before you go out? You just help each other, whatever way you can. Little things and big things count. Because it's so against our nature right now to be told not to hold each other, to not rush to another and hold them in your arms. And yet we know that's showing love right now, which is so crazy, but it is. But that doesn't mean we can't deeply connect, and we need to make sure we're deeply connecting and helping each other right now. That's job number one for each of us who can at least do that.
What can I do for you today?
What are you doing?
Well, I would just like to know what should I be doing? What is my best service now? What's the best thing for me to do?
Wow. Okay.
You know,
well,
I'm not looking for the exact. I'm wondering if I just do I just stay more in the prayer mode, in the giving distance Reiki mode, or do I get out there more on the front line?
Well, certainly this is a time, your progressed moon is in Sagittarius, and therefore it's also in your seventh house. So in terms of where the universe is asking you to make some changes or make some adaptions is exactly in that realm of relationship, in the way in which you conduct yourself or have to frame the relationship, which obviously given our times, we have to relate differently, reach each other differently, respond differently. And with the moon in Sagittarius, this is a time for you to speak or share your truth, which is also true because Saturn's in your ninth house. So telling stories, sharing stories in whatever way you can is part of your task right now. Not that it wouldn't always be your task, but it's something that most of us have been training up for everything we're doing. And this is a moment where we bring that online even more. So I would say whatever one has skill sets in terms of sensibilities and sensitivities and strengths to apply to the moment, bring them on now. And certainly what would be in your own chart being brought to bear right now are your gifts as a storyteller, as a communicator, as a networker. And maybe it's just saying continue with that, but obviously maybe having to find new means to do that given the constraints imposed by the circumstances we find ourselves in right now. And that's mm-hmm. what I would say.
All right. You know? I'll take it, Doc.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, people need to connect. So we can be facilitators in connecting. We tell our stories. I mean, I've heard some amazing stories, and I'm sure people are hearing me tell some amazing stories, because that's mm-hmm. how we are human. We tell each other stories. We give comfort. We give advice. We hopefully pass on some knowledge or wisdom. It helps. It's so valuable. And so I would say do that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Love you.
It was great talking. Love you too. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh my goodness. All you people calling in. I don't know some of you, I suppose, but boy, that was special. I'm just jumping around here. I might call on somebody the same twice because I don't know where we are on the queue here. Let me try this person. Hello, you're on with Bill.
Oh, hi.
Who's this?
Lisa calling in Arizona. Hi.
Oh, Lisa. Okay. Now do I have your chart in my blog talk radio grouping here?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, did you call before? So where were you born, Lisa?
In Los Angeles County, in Glendale.
Did I have your last name, too, or just the first name? Did you ever call in before? Let's start with that.
I think it was ages ago when I called.
Oh, gee, okay. Because I only have two Lisas that I see here, one born in out of this country and one born in Glendale, California. Is that you?
That would be me.
There you go. See, I do have you. See, I'm looking at it, but not seeing what I'm looking at. Okay. So I've got your chart. Yeah. That's good. I don't have to do that again. So how can I help you today, Lisa?
Well, how does it show for the next couple, few months, I guess.
Okay. Well, other than the universal things we're all faced with right now, your chart has, in terms of its inner measure of time, that progressed moon that I always start with usually, it's in that sixth house that is the house of order, lifestyle. We call it the house of health and healing. But it means it's a time in a person's life, and it would be true no matter what was going on around us, that it's time for Lisa to sort of look at how she orders her life from the simplest day-to-day things we do every day to things we do once a week, to things we do once a month, all the ordering of our life and how we segment, you know, activity time and rest time and work and play and the nature of work and how my health and my diet and exercise it's all up for review. The key in your life right now is that I need to create a life that makes sense, to have a life that's beautiful or more beautiful. And what do I need to add or subtract to make that so? And so this is a time of healing. This is a time of, but also a time of tuning up and retraining. This is the house of apprenticeship and self-improvement. So we're all at various times in our life going to go through periods where I have certain abilities and skill sets, but maybe I've let them get rusty, or maybe the way I was applying them, that no longer applies. It's not, I can't do that out there, but I can repurpose these skills to something new. So this is a time to tune yourself up and fundamentally go through healing. And again, of course, you are a Virgo, so the sixth house is your house. So this is a Virgoian time for you. I mean, the goal of Virgo. People think, oh, Virgos are organizationally minded, they're critical, they're perfectionists, and all that stuff, right? but what is really a Virgo? A Virgo just wants to be at peace. And all that ordering, organizing, and analyzing is to make things make sense so I will be at peace. So it serves a purpose. But, of course, we know that peace is not out there. Out there is chaos and confusion often. So I have to first order myself within, align all my vehicles, all my sensibilities to things that are true, like lasting values and principles and understandings. And then be guided accordingly in terms of my conduct in the world. And so inner attunement, inner alignment then follows the outer arrangements that you then flow out into that with. So this is a time to heal. That's what you're doing. Okay.
You know, I totally embrace that, and I see myself doing that. And I'm doing things beyond that have come spontaneous, connecting where I wouldn't connect before, judging people before for certain things, like why are they blasting that music publicly as I'm sitting in the parking lot, you know, and then realizing that it's a Walmart worker waiting on break or whatever. And then I start dancing. I show them that I'm dancing to the music, and that's so unlike me. And, you know, I feel so sad, you know, that there's hoarding going on, and I cry at that. And I mean, I'm surprised. My reaction is, I'm surprised at me. I'm surprised. And I know there is healing, self-healing going on, and self, a lot of change for many of us, hopefully. There are a lot of changes that are for the good, the positive.
Well, that's what it is. As I said, the frictional stresses we're experiencing externally and internally are revealing the diamond body, as they say, the spirit within, which is beautiful. And most people are going to do beautiful things and act with love at this time and be more forgiving of themselves and of others. And all those things are going to, that's what comes out of a terrible experience and that we're encountering at this time. And no, you know, that we all accept that, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to lift ourselves up and help one another. And that's what we're seeing all around us. And so we
not
that we wouldn't do that.
You know, I was going to use that old expression, don't give away the store, which I don't mean that in the way that, you know, not give away toilet paper or anything like that, but also, you know, have self-regard, you know, don't, you know, still have some boundaries and respectful. I guess that would be the word, respectful boundaries. There's still the connecting and all that, but.
Well, that's part of being aligned by the universal principles, that we need to act always with consideration and moderation, and we need to be considerate, but we also, not that we expect consideration, but it will come back to us. Some people can't be, they're full of fear and they're not going to be considerate whatsoever. We shouldn't go there and respond and react and kind. We should just, like I was in the store the other day, and I'm being respectful of distancing and waiting online, and this person rushes right by me, knocks into me, and I turn, and his face is like inches from my face, a young guy.
Oh, God.
And then he walks right past me, rushes in front of the line, and gets to the front of the line because he was going to meet his, I think it's his girlfriend up there. And he looks back at me like, you know, like, what? And I'm like, oh, my God, because it just, you know, you're told not to even touch one, let alone touch one another.
Yeah.
He banged into me. And I realized he was just rushing and not thinking, you know, and knocked into me. And I just let it go because, you know, what was I going to say? You know, was that like,
you did wrong,
don't do that. But I think he knew that, but I just wasn't going to make a thing of it. What was the point?
Yeah.
But people are going to be still thoughtless, of course. And hopefully that they don't do it again when they realize they did it. And so all we can do is keep, no matter what energy is thrown at us, we have a choice how we take that energy and either pass it on if it was negative and therefore nothing changed, or we can take something that negatively happened to us coming from another and turn it into something beautiful. Show kindness instead of anger. But that's a choice, and it takes great awareness and will to do that. But that's every day. That's what's required of us if we're going to advance.
And it's so new right now, all of this. And I think like that guy that you're describing who banged into you, you know, down the road, he'll build on that memory with other encounters that he possibly has that he's responsible for being negative. And then he'll understand.
Yeah. It was a moment of thoughtlessness. And I think that's, you know, it. And I let it go. And I do hope, that his next act was to hold the door open for somebody. But that's it. We have to all move on to the next encounter and the next. But each moment's a moment that we're challenged. What do I do in this moment?
I either
act with consciousness or I'm asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
And we can't, everybody's got to be waking up now. We can't be asleep at the wheel now. This is a wake up moment. This is a moment of waking up. Not that we were asleep, but just to be a little more awake, a little more considerate, a little ever more virtuous. You know, that's the goal, always, but especially.
And it's
now.
A hard one. You know, I find myself so proud of my behavior, and the next moment I'm blindsided, and I'm not so proud of my reaction. You know, and it might be, you know, so it's all learning. You know, it's all learning and work improvement, work in progress.
Okay, Lisa, thank you. Best to you. And are you in California? Is that where you're still located? Are you out there?
You know, at this moment in time I am, and I'm out with nature, and it can be very crowded still, even though it was ordered to shut down, and people are I know last night out in nature, they were being senseless and kind of almost doing what that young guy was doing. And I thought, gee, what's it going to take? And,
We see people who are doing the right things here in New York, and some people who are not being smart about what they're doing to others and to themselves, and hopefully more people are than not. And so it's good to see that most people are listening to the advice and distancing and not going out and not crowding and staying spaced apart, and all that stuff is happening. But we still have instances where people are not. That's the problem. I said, it's not definite what's going to happen here. What is going to determine how this goes is how each of us and how groups of us act in the moment determines how this goes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it's the people that have felt disconnected and disenfranchised all along that are not connecting with the message, you know, of what we
need
possible.
To do. It's possible. I don't know. I would think most, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. It's still early.
Yeah.
But we don't have much time. I know. But again, we have to prepare for a long time. Yeah, you're welcome. But I'll talk again, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.
Sure. Okay, I think I have time for one more or two. Let's see, who's this? This is Bill. Who's holding? Hello?
Yeah, hi, Bill. How are you? It's Stacy.
Hi.
Yeah, hi, okay. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's crazy. Still have my job. I'm working, you know, I'm able to work from home doing it. And they extended the tax season I get because of, you know, everything that's going on. So it's working out so far, but I just, you know, it's just, I guess with everything going on and everything, like, I just wanted to know how the year will play out.
Well, that planet Saturn, which has now made its entry into Aquarius, has now taken up residence for the next several years in your chart in that second house, which is the house of value, resources, our talent and ability, our relationship to value in our kind of culture, money and income. And some people would say, oh my God, you know, Saturn's the teacher test. You're going to have tests of value for the next 3+ years. I say, yes, that is possible, but it was more likely this is the time where a person becomes much more realistically aligned with their value, their self-worth, their talents and abilities, and lays in some really strong and solid foundations and realizations of their value. And so your economic value life becomes ever stronger over these next several years. That's what we would look for. But that requires that a person, you know, have an honest relationship to value and themselves, and what do I truly have and what do I truly need and how do I manage that relationship so that I am building in good values and sustainable values. I am not being wasteful of where I put my resources or money or what have you. All those things are part of this. But the truth is, this is a time when I flex my muscles and show myself what I can do and how I can do it better. That's what this is for. And in 2 months' time, that progressed moon, which for you has spent these last couple of years in Virgo, will move into Libra, and that will be definitely a lighter energy for you. In that now we're focusing more on questions of relationship and partnership and social matters, and less upon organizing
frugal,
and reorganizing.
You know,
because
I've been so frugal because, you know, living paycheck by paycheck, it's just really hard. So you said a partnership's coming, relationship, do you see?
Well, turning to focusing more upon relationship matters and partnership matters would come about with that. And so you're less focused on trying to work on yourself, though that never stops, but less of that internal focus of how do I make myself better and prepare myself for whatever's coming. Now it's moving out more, like 2-3 months from now, so not probably till June or so. I could figure it out, but let's say it's that. That you find yourself now becoming more socially available and engaged and having more opportunities to build out better experiences in relationship becomes the focus. And it wasn't going to be the focus for the last couple of years. Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah, because it's like I've been kind of like a hermit, but it's good that I have the opportunity that I can work from home. You know, and, you know, I was part-time and it's full-time. It's working for an accountant and it's accounting season. And, you know, accountants, they usually end like mid-April. They say, you know, it could be longer.
Now it's going to July. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, many accountants work year-round, of course, in businesses and filings and quarterlies and whatever. I mean, I have to deal with an accounting firm for various things. So it is in terms of consumers, yes, it's that once a year, that rush. But now it's extended till July, so there's that whole now new window of when people can file, which will extend that kind of season. But if you get involved or working for an accountant who have a number of businesses they're doing taxes and filings and employment stuff for, the work never stops.
The thing is, the only problem I have is if most people did their accounting already, you know, and that there won't be that much for me and nobody's leaving to do it. That's what I'm scared of. You know, I'm just
getting
laid off again.
Well, see if you can find in that company or other companies that deal with businesses which have an ongoing need for financial accounting services, that's what you want to do. Because it's always in need. It's not just a seasonal thing. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. It's more than that. It's just like nobody's leaving their homes. That's like these times, it's just like, you know, I guess the fear of getting laid off and all this again, because, you know, one of my friends out of state told me that six of her friends got laid off. So it's just fear of that.
This is going to be a very challenging time, and we're going to need a lot of help, and we're going to need to help each other, and we're going to need a lot of help. So you keep looking for the help you need to get and looking where you can be of help. That's all we can do right now. Okay. Anyways, the episode is over. I've got to go now, but I will talk to you next time. I'll probably do this another week or two, probably more often now that probably there's a need for that. But it was nice talking to you again, Stacey. Okay.
Thanks. You too. Thank you.
Okay. Be well. Okay. Bye-bye.